the Christian Institute, many of you are familiar with. They sent us a little flyer yesterday. They're holding a meeting in Guildford in what used to be Chertsey Street Baptist Church. It's now the Grace Baptist Church. They always were part of the Grace Baptist denomination, of course. Two major denominations of Baptists in this country. Grace is one of them. And it's at 7:45 to 9 on Thursday, the 29th of November. There's a big car park near there, the York Road car park, multi-story. You can park and just walk straight through. And I think it's worth going to because there's a lot of things going on that we need to be informed on and to be informed how to counter, because we're just flailing around in the dark sometimes and we should get our arguments cogent and precise. For example, it says here, the family. The Bible teaches that parents should have primary responsibility for raising their children. But the state has a growing tendency to overreach its proper role and undermine parental authority. That's what they're doing. That's what Mrs. May is putting forward. Transgender teaching to five-year-olds, etc. We will bring you up to date. Gospel freedom, very important, and of course, everything hinges on it. Free speech and religious liberty are under threat because of a failure to understand true tolerance. Isn't it interesting? Liberals are tolerant of everything except biblical Christianity. And the roots of our historic democratic freedom. All the freedoms in this country and in America stem from the gospel. Nothing else. Men didn't devise it. It's built. America was a nation, and us to an extent as well, built on the freedom that the Word of God provided us, and our law, our legal system, everything, free speech. The impact of equality law is just one example. We will explain more. Gender ideology. This is a tremendous threat to our children. I'm glad we haven't got any children at school now, because even in Israel, our grandchildren are shown pictures of transgender unicorns. You know, if you can imagine anything more ridiculous. In Israel, where you'd think the religious folk would stand up against it, but they don't. Radical gender ideology is being pushed by the media, and the government plans to make it easier, thank you, Mrs. May, to change legal sex. At the same time, transgenderism is being promoted in schools. We will consider how Christians should respond. And at the bottom, I like this, simple and powerful ideas to help you make a stand for the truth. We can actually all get online and make comments and go blogging and so on. And I mean, I do this every day, but everybody can do it. It's not difficult. You don't have to be a great writer. Just a few simple lines will do. Make your presence felt. Write to your MP. Contact them. Go to their surgeries and so forth. So anyway, on to my presentation. Why the world is in a mess and the solution. Well, we know what that is. The Lord coming back. But until then, we are in difficult times. We're warned exactly what's going to happen. Realize this. In the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Sounds very much like today. The truth is absolute. It's not an opinion. There is right, there is wrong, there is black, there is white. For among them, I continue with scripture, are those who enter the households of captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, etc. We are to expect persecution. We are told that it's coming, and it is, of course, here, all around the world, and in the West, in America, and in this country as well. There are persecutions in different... if you try to, for example, teach, it must be very, very difficult when you're told to teach things that you know are wrong. If you're a registrar... A lady in London lost her job because she is a Christian. She refused to perform a gay marriage. Sacked. Yes, Christians are. They're not actually being tortured and thrown into jail, though they will be thrown into jail. There was a lady who we saw on a YouTube the other day. She's a Christian, and she was complaining about all the Islamic takeover of Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park. And then someone nearby who's a homosexual, and I don't know why she said it, he walked past her, and she said, "Oh, have a gay day." Anyway, sometime later, there was a knock on the door. Two police arrived and arrested her for, hate speech. Of course, they can say anything about us, and that's not hate speech, you see. So it's a very one-sided thing. So evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, that's the remnant church, the true believing church, continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God. We can't pick and choose. I saw one man once give a wonderful message, and he had a Bible. I won't do it in mine because I value it, but it was an old one, obviously, and he was cutting out the bits that people find inconvenient, and he ended with about two pages because a lot of it is inconvenient. It's an inconvenient truth. So all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And yes, we're not saved by good works, but we should do good works. And here's two folk that we met recently who are equipped for every good work. And if you go onto our website, thefreepressonline.co.uk, Pat wrote this story, and I thought it was a remarkable story. I'll read a little bit. You can read the rest online. And Marvin answered the phone in Israel, in Haifa. And a man's voice said, "You don't know me, but you knew my mother 20 years ago." And Pat wrote, "This would have sent a shiver of fear through many men." Marvin was intrigued. "Who is your mother?" And the man said, "She was pregnant, a teenage prostitute on drugs. You counseled her two or three times. She never came again, but she thought about what you said, and she decided to keep the baby." Sometimes our words don't seem to have an immediate effect, but they go in. People do remember. "I am that baby," said the man. "My mother believed what you told her and stopped taking drugs. She stopped prostitution and started a new life. She went back to her family, got an education and a degree, and found work. I just wanted to thank you." And there are many stories like that. They don't keep count. They don't have charts. They don't have numbers. They don't have, "Oh, we're doing wonderful things. Look at the exponential curve." They just deal with people as they come. And they deal very wonderfully. I think they're a very fine example of what we should all be doing, equipped for every good work. Well, should we change the Word of God because it's inconvenient, it's full of inconvenient truth for today's generation? Christianity is under threat regarding the teaching of biblical marriage. And the disturbing factor is that the Word of God on this matter is being altered, diluted, and changed to modernize the Christian church's teaching to accommodate the whims of the 21st century. And I got an email this week, just a few days ago, from a man that I've known for some years, mainly by email, a committed Christian. He said, "Help." I haven't really been able to give him a great deal of help, some help, suggestions. I can't write his thesis for him, but he wants 2,000 words for his degree. We shouldn't do things like that, actually, because it's dishonest. Annie did a thesis for a Korean Christian who didn't speak very good English, and 2,000 or 3,000 words for his master's degree. But on reflection, we thought she shouldn't have done that, because it's not then his work, is it? So you can help, you can assist, you can guide, you can suggest, but you can't actually write it for them. So that's what I've tried to do. This is what he said anyway. "I've just finished a work placement at a hospital chaplaincy department. It's in the West Country. And I'm trying to write a 2,000-word essay on spiritual care. This is part of my final year's theology degree through Spurgeon's College. And I want this essay to be hard-hitting." We better pray for this man. You'll see why. "The department is officially called the Department of Pastoral and Spiritual Care and Religious Needs. But the training course for volunteer patient visitors, which I attended, is totally confusing. Surprise, surprise, it's run by the Church of England. When it comes to spirituality and spiritual care, the course is run by two lady C of E vicars, one of whom has recently transgendered to become a man. I'm not making this up, this is true. Both hold PhDs in psychology. Well, that's a load of nonsense, no wonder they're mixed up. But again, they shouldn't be vicars, they shouldn't be preaching, and they certainly shouldn't be trying to change their sex. Not possible to do that, actually. New Age spirituality. There is a lot of Eastern New Age spirituality in the Korth material, with quotes from spiritual writer Father, call no man Father, Richard Rohr, and popular Buddhist teacher Pema Chodron. The department is going down the secular interfaith route of spirituality, becoming the new religion, which with nobody willing to define what spirituality actually means. Well, they want it to be non-judgmental, PC, and non-proselytizing. Oh dear, I said. Chaplaincy is increasingly being influenced by political correctness, so the Word of God is being prevented from going into things like prisons and hospitals, where it's had a big effect in the past. And pressure from non-Christian groups. In a state-run hospital, we have to comply with these demands. How can I explain spirituality and spiritual care from a biblical worldview? At the same time, as a Christian, I need to be able to go above and beyond these standards and offer something practical that human psychology cannot, but without proselytizing. Boy, he's treading a dangerous path through the fireworks, isn't he, eh? As this is difficult, we were talking about this here a few days ago, preach the basic gospel truth. He can do nothing else, and if he's failed and if he is kicked out, so be it. He's got to stand for the truth. You cannot compromise on the Word of God. He says, I really need practical advice. I have to be able to deliver spiritual care in compliance with NHS standards in order to maintain my role within the hospital. He can kind of be a little careful and cunning, I suppose, but he cannot compromise. Because there is a cost. There's a cost to our way if we go our way, not God's way. The largest share of spending on the consequences of addiction and substance use falls on the national health system. There's a real need for real spiritual care in the hospitals. Tobacco, alcohol, and drug use cause or contribute to over 30 other conditions requiring medical care, including cancer, lung disease, heart disease, HIV, AIDS, pregnancy complications, cirrhosis, ulcers, and trauma. Nearly one third of all hospital costs are linked to addiction and substance use. That's why it's an awful thing going on at the moment. Around the world, there's this great push to legalize marijuana and hash, and I know exactly what it does. We were in Morocco once, and Pat and I tried to hire two bicycles, and we went round bicycle shops, and everywhere we went, to cut a long story short, they were just totally zonked out. They'd smoke the weed, and we want to hire a bicycle, £500. No, we don't want to buy, we want to hire. And everywhere we went, they were completely incapable of doing any business, because it sort of seeps into the brain and addles the mind and eventually destroys it. We were both, Pat and I, court reporters for many years. I've covered all kinds of cases. And I can tell you that people do go on from soft drugs, they're all narcotics, to serious cocaine and heroin use. They do. Over and over again, I saw it. I can't give you figures. I was just reporting the cases as they came up. But quite often, people said, I started out just smoking weed, and they got on to other things because they need a bigger and bigger kick once you go down the route of narcotics. There's a cost. Lack of biblical teaching causes immense problems, not just in health. Many patients are sick because their spiritual teaching has been wrong-headed. Instead of prayer, they take drugs or go to yoga classes. Eastern religion, in your local church hall, blessed by the vicar, no doubt, if she's finished her transgendering. Christians and the churches they call their spiritual homes spend time, energy, and finances on counseling confused people about marriage, sexuality, parenting, and every sort of life trouble. From dealing with debt to coping with hostility, only Christian teaching has perfect answers. It's quite interesting that the Bible actually does tell us about finance and money management, which I'm very keen on, actually, because it causes immense trouble. When I covered divorce courts, the number one cause of divorce was not what you'd expect. It was money trouble. People getting into debt, everyone getting fraught and angry, and people yelling at each other, then the marriage splitting apart. But at the heart of it was bad money management. And anyway, I've had a little bit of experience in that area. Real Christians are fundamentalists. Amen. There's been a great falling away from the fundamental truths of Christianity. The very word fundamental has acquired a bad reputation. When all it means, and we need to explain this to this lost and dying world, when applied to Christians, is that you believe the fundamental truths of the Bible. Many bishops and ministers, many of them, deny the most foundational truths of our faith: the virgin birth, the atoning death and resurrection of Christ, and a counterfeit Christianity has crept in and has much of the church in its grip. They want a good time. They want to jump up and down and yell and shout. They want to be together. Churches together, I call it false churches together, actually. And I put this in because I'm sure most of us here know all this. I'm sure we do, actually. But I would like you to get some copies of this if you can. Send them out. We don't give presents at Christmas, but it's no harm sending out a Bible message, is it, to those in your family that might listen to something like this, because they need to know they're not getting it. If they do go to church, probably at the place down the road with stained glass windows, they're not going to get this. So get the DVD and pass it out, because this message is more for wider people than sitting here in front of me. The Bible was inspired by God, Almighty God, and Scripture is inerrant, true, without error. It's the maker's manual, God's handbook, God's holy book, telling us not only how he created everything, but how it will all end. And also showing us how we should live. And the Lord Jesus is fully God and fully man. More fundamentals. The death of our Lord on the cross atoned for our sins. We are saved by faith in him alone, not by any good works. The miracles of our Lord were historical realities, easily provable, literally true. And the literal return of our Lord, which the church at large should be proclaiming from the housetops, in glory to reign on earth for 1,000 years, over and over again, this is said. And the second advent, because of all the things we see, the dark clouds forming, could be close. Many Christians would object to this last point. They don't believe there's going to be a second advent. They believe prophecy has been fulfilled. However, we cannot compromise on the literal truth of the Bible, even the parts that are unpopular today, the ones that itching ears don't want to hear. Truth divides, whereas ecumenism is everybody's friend, you know, we all love each other, really. The coming together of the lukewarm Laodicean church from many different denominations is leading to the formation of the United Great Horde Church of Revelation chapter 17. The end times falling away from the true faith. The Spirit explicitly says, 1 Timothy 4, verse 4, I start, in the later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Again, something I know quite a lot about because I was involved in it all. By means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience, as with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage, like the Catholic Church. That's because they want the money of the priest when they die. An advocate abstaining from foods. That's another hilarious switch by the Catholic Church, by the way, because it used to be a mortal sin if you ate meat on Friday. You had to have fish, you see. One day, Pat, who was raised in a Christian family, a Catholic Christian family, they thought they were Christians. She went to Christian colleges and was taught by nuns and so forth until she went to university. Well, one day she went back to America. She'd been away for years. And they were having burgers and things on a Friday. And she was absolutely flabbergasted. That was a mortal sin 2 years ago. Oh, the Pope changed his mind. So that's all right, then it's okay. Do what you want, you know. So, I mean, it's so ridiculous. You can't believe that anyone would go along with it. But they do. They don't read the Bible anyway, for the most part. Anyway, we're not to have forbidden foods. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected. We can't be vegans or vegetarians. I don't mind if people are, but we don't need to be if it's received with gratitude. For it's sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. We used to worry when we went to Nepalese restaurants. that they'd possibly offer their god the food as a sacrifice, you see. But we thought, hang on a minute, no, we can eat whatever we like because it's sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. We prayed before the meal. We're not worried by demonology or demons. Let them try their worst because they do anyway. Here's the Pope. He's an admiring Protestant leaders, and they don't seem to be protesting about anything. Oh, Holy Father. Oh, dear. The end times whore church is almost here. It'll comprise mostly, the big honcho will be the Pope, and it's going to be based in Rome. But it will take in all other false churches. Most of the main denominations will go along with it. They already are. I've got dozens and dozens and dozens of reports over many years of churches saying, well, we're Protestants, but we acknowledge the Pope as the head of the church. Oh, really? Yeah, they do. All the main denominations virtually, even Baptists are getting involved with all this. Churches adopting ecumenicalism believe that in being part of the World Council of Churches, they are doing God's will. Churches together, that's another organization I'm profoundly grateful. That's one of the reasons I come to Tongham, because we're not mixed up in this mishmash of misunderstanding. Churches together is facilitating this move. Yes, we are to love one another, but we are to have discernment and judgment. We are to judge. That's another thing that people don't understand. Chapter about it in our book. The Council is celebrating, the Council of Churches, 70 years since it was formed and is global. The World Council of Churches allows the Catholic Church to participate in its activities and processes. Many Protestant organizations are involved because people are turning to fables. The emergent Laodicean church, 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 to 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. You see this in all the maniacal jumping up and down churches, the Hillsongs and that, you know. Oh, God wants to bless us, whatever we do, you know. The founder of Hillsong was actually went on TV in Australia, flat on his back, kicking his little feet up in the air, shouting out, oh God, make me a money magnet. Yes, that was on TV in Australia. Sorry, and if I said America, it's Australia. And his wife wrote a book about sex, which wasn't any too pleasant, apparently. But I haven't read it, I don't know. But these are not things that church leaders should be concentrating on. They should deal with things like that, but in private. Not make public spectacles of themselves. Well, of course, we have to refer to God as a female. They're taking over everything else, apparently, would like to. In the Bible, God is always referred to as Father, not Mother. This mixing of gender is deliberate and in the spirit of witchcraft, as is feminism, women, priests, etc. One aim, a very major part of Satan's end times plan, I believe, is to convince people there is no difference between the sexes, homosexuality is normal, and so on. This is not what God Almighty says. Some Christians are gay, thank God. Here are the lesbians, gays, bisexual, transgender. I don't know what IQ means. I dread to think. Many of today's churches believe in the idea that love means anything goes. We love you anyway. This is not biblical Christianity. It's our job to be a correcting influence on these people. It's a religion concocted for a world without accepted standards of right or wrong. If there's not something that's absolutely right, a pilot could just sort of guess where he was going to go, wouldn't he? And with disastrous consequences. Clearly, in things like physics and mathematics, you have to have absolute standards. It's the same in spiritual matters as well. There are rights and there are wrongs, and only the Word of God tells you what is right. The Methodist Church, here's a lady Methodist marrying two men, views same-sex marriages under the disguise of such words as, it may not be the Methodist Church, I take that back, sorry, but they are re-examining and redrafting its official position on marriage. And a number of Anglican bishops are now saying that the Church of England may face a split if the teaching of marriage is changed. So they'll have two false churches instead of one then. Here's a professor who got into big trouble, a brave and foolhardy man. He said, men and women are different. Oh, the banshees are after him. I tell you, he better go into hiding in a bunker, I would think. He's a Swedish university professor. He's being investigated for saying there are biological differences between men and women. Ola might have something to say about this. He's a science teacher. Can't be true, can it? I mean, surely not. Lund University neurophysiology professor German Heslow was accused by a student. One silly girl makes a fuss, and suddenly the professor is in the dock, you know. He was accused of making transphobic and anti-feminist statements. And though the school has asked him to recant, he's refusing. Good for him. Probably the end of his career. During a lecture in his course on heritage and environment, Heslow cited research that supports the idea that there are differences between men and women which are biologically founded, concluding that, for that reason, genders cannot be regarded as merely social constructs. No, they're basic, they're factual, they're real, they're called biology. I mean, someone close to us in the family became one of the first female US Marines. I hope this is not shown to the family in America. But I mean, we love her dearly. She's quite a strong, strapping lady. She's now at home being a mother, actually, and housewife. But she went out in the Marines, went sent to Iraq, and surprise, surprise, she couldn't cope with the front line, so they put her in office duties and then gave her sick leave. It doesn't work. They're not tough enough. Their bodies are made differently. They have different things to do, support functions and so forth. If you ever wanted to see why it doesn't work, go and watch some of the training, as I have done, of mixed troops round Aldershot. The women going along, struggling along with great big packs on their back, ruining their posture and backs, I should think, and their spines. They can't do it. They can try, but it's just not going to work. It doesn't work. We are different. Thank goodness. This professor is charged with the ultimate crime, anti-feminism. According to Academic Rights Watch, he met with the chairman of the program board for medical education and was told the student claimed he spoke on his personal and anti-feminist agenda. He's refused to apologize, saying, at some point, this is what we should be saying, one must ask for a sense of proportion among those involved. Ideology, politics and prejudice form the conventional outlook, not science. Here's what Pat wrote, and she's an artist as well, as you can see. And we've got this on our website. It's worth printing out and pushing around because it's just very simple. Every baby boy is born with an XY gene. It's the Y that makes him male. Every baby girl is born with an XX gene. This makes her female. That's not too hard, is it? Those genes happen to be in virtually every cell of their bodies, through and through, from the hair on their heads to the toes on their feet. They're either XY boy or XX girl. They can change their appearance, but it doesn't change the genes. It is not possible to be a transgender. You can be a man in drag. If you go to Heathrow Airport, I had about 7 or 8 trips up there in the last few months, unfortunately. If you go to Heathrow Airport, you'll see in the arrivals terminal, they got transgenders prancing all over the walls and gay rights activists. I protested about it, so at least one person has, but we should not take these things lying down. I find it hugely embarrassing if I'm meeting American Christians and that, and they're coming in past these posters. Fortunately, they haven't seen them, I don't think, but there they are, transgender activists. And I thought, when I first saw them, I thought, who are those peculiar-looking women? And I thought, hang on a minute, they're not women, they're just men in drag. It's sick. We are sick here in this country, and America's not far behind. The people rewriting the Word of God should learn some basic science. Gender bending is part of Satan's end time deception. Feminism is in the spirit of witchcraft. When I was in the New Age movement, I lived and worked and produced newspapers and magazines for them when I was young and foolish, until I saw through it all, and it was not difficult if you got your brain switched on to see through it. A lot of the women down there were basically witches. And if we took a decision, we had a seance first and asked the friends what they thought. The friends were so useful that the thing practically went bankrupt in the end. It was a fiasco, actually. But boy, I learned a lot and saw a lot firsthand that you'd hardly believe, actually. Anyway, never mind. But yeah, I was very interested in psychic things. We had seances. Since sin entered the world, Satan has been using the same old tricks. Disobedience. It breaks our communion with God. Did God really say? he's using the same old tricks because they still work so well. Every generation falls for them in some respect. However, only when people remain willfully, biblically ignorant and gullible, ready for any deception. We're deceived when we don't know enough, when we choose to be deceived. Oh, I don't think the Bible's true, ever read it? Oh, no. Well, try a little research before you make silly comments. I think an explanation of the recent rise in homosexual acceptance and propaganda is that we can well have a homosexual antichrist waiting in the wings. And I take as my scripture there here, Daniel chapter 11, verse 37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers nor the desire of women. It does seem to suggest he's going to be a homosexual. So I think, and everything in the world has a reason. There's a reason why all this is being pushed at ever-increasing rate. And it's suddenly coming to a climax because the end is coming soon, I think. I think the rapture could be quite close. Hope so. There's a reason, always a reason, for the astonishing and rapid rate at which our society is being brainwashed into thinking perversion is normal. I miss on this because, I'll go through it a little bit, because when we see these things happening, we should look up because our redemption draws near. People today scoff at the Bible, scoff at prophecy, just as the word of God predicted. When I point out that, you know, if someone starts scoffing, I say, well, actually, in 2 Peter 3, it says that there would be people like you scoffing, you know. It also says, the fool says in his heart that there is no God. But the mockers are here, one of many indicators that these are the last days. Our job is to be watchmen on the wall, blow the trumpet in Zion, blow it loud and clear. Know the facts, get them out simply. Because what's happening out there is a preparation's going ahead. They're paving the path to Antichrist, who will be very inclusive. He won't be judgmental, not at first. He will be judging us at some stage, all the Christians who are left on earth. Subtle and crafty. There'll be no absolutes. Just smile and say, God, Allah, Isa, Brahma, Krishna, all love you. Don't be narrow-minded and exclusive. It all sounds very much like today's society, every university probably, the occult. There is a truth behind it all, and it's satanic, actually. And I see the occult behind a great deal of what's going on, most of it, actually. But if we know the truth shall set us free. Here's the satanic Bible. Don't trust Christian publishers also, because the Satanic Bible by Anton LaVey is published by HarperCollins, also published the NIV Bible. And Zondervan was taken over by HarperCollins, and it's all part of the News International Empire. Also do Fox News, by the way. And they also publish Bibles and scriptures. They also publish satanic manuals. So there we go. And on Netflix, and it started on Sky. It started on Fox. It's now on Netflix. It's the Lucifer Show, in which Satan is being sold as a very sort of wonderful, kind of witty, charming man, you see. And he probably will be at first, because he'll be very wily and cunning. He's a lot of practice. And we've just passed through Halloween, and I haven't got too much time, but I did want to not miss the chance to say a little bit about Halloween, because I've been absolutely sickened by going into shop after shop, supermarkets, garden centres, and seeing people dressed as witches and warlocks in horns and so on, thinking it's a huge, hilarious hoot. Well, they're going somewhere very much hotter than they want, I'm afraid, if they don't change. Halloween, headline in the Daily Express, it's the most important day when devil worshippers rejoice for Hallow's Eve. Halloween, which we've just passed, is the most important day of the year for devil worshippers, according to the founder of the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey, who wrote that Bible, the Satanic Bible. He was the country's most prominent Satanist, and he wrote lots of books on Satanism. The involvement of people in the occult sometimes seems harmless. Well, I had my palm read. It was at a church fete. I've got a picture of it. Actually, I think it was a verger at a Church of England fete, gazing into a crystal ball and reading palms and that kind of thing, raising money for the church roof fund, no doubt. This is how ignorant they are, willfully ignorant. It's not harmless. It leads on to other things, just like soft drugs lead on to hard drugs. It means breaking the first commandment, invoking God's curse. Ignorance is no excuse, and ignorance will not be bliss when occultists arrive in hell. You have to challenge this, you know. We went into Badgerley Garden Centre to order a coffee and a cake or whatever. I was buying a plant at the time, and came up, and someone dressed as a witch was about to serve us. And I said, I'm not going to be served by a witch. Cancel the order, thank you and goodbye. I wasn't rude, but I'd made my point. And I thought, probably no one else has done that all day. If quite a few people did and made the management know, they might just modify things a little bit. Anyway, this was a house next door to where we know well in Manchester, Missouri. It's a part of St. Louis. And here is a typical Halloween display. It started with the Celts, moved to America, bounced back to this country, you see. These celebrations have returned to us from America. You see how grisly and gruesome it is. The very best they can do is dance around a pumpkin. I mean, it's not exactly edifying in any way, even if you say, well, it's harmless. None of this is ever harmless. The hellish nature of Halloween, clearly seen in all the images we've recently had inflicted on us. Here they are, gravestones and so on. The Druids celebrated. People should know this. That's why I want this to get out. The eve of the Celtic New Year in honor of the pagan god Samhain. The festival of Samhain, more accurately called the Festival of Death, is recognized by all Satanists, occultists, and devil worshippers as the eve of the new year for witchcraft. It's a very important day. It's not just a joke. Anton LaVey said it's one of the three most important dates for Satanists. I call it Halloween. Halloween's pagan roots originate from the Celtic festival, which is over 2,000 years old. This Druid celebration of the pagan new year begins each October the 31st. They're just a couple of 3 days into their new year with bonfires and the offering of sacrifices. As Druids danced around the fires, they celebrated the ending of summer and the beginning of the season of darkness, which is their season. They like the dark. We are for the dark. They believe that at this time, the invisible gates between the natural and spirit worlds opened, allowing free movement between the two worlds. This is what's really behind Halloween. So that's what trick or treat is. It's not about silly young kids going around encouraged by their even more silly parents to get a bar of chocolate at the door whilst dressed as a witch. We wouldn't go along with that. Fortunately, we didn't have anyone knock on the door. But that is what trick or treat is. It's utterly evil and occult. The Druid priests went from house to house demanding all sorts of strange foods for their own consumption and to offer later to Lord Samhain at the Festival of Death, to Satan, in other words. If people wouldn't give the gifts, they would speak a demonic curse over the home and claim that someone in the family would die within the year. This is the meaning behind trick or treat. We need to know this. The Druids carried a turnip, now a pumpkin, which they hollowed and they carved a face on. This represented the demonic spirit they depended upon for their power, a familiar spirit. See what the Lord says about this in Acts 16, verses 16 to 18. The turnip, lit by a candle, was used as a lantern as Druids went from house to house. They believed the familiar spirit inhabited these turnips and helped them perform spells spoken over the homes and lives of those refusing the Druids' demands. I knew someone who put a curse on someone, and I was told he did die, actually, as one of the spirited people I used to mingle and mix with. We are repeatedly warned not to use occult arts. The New Testament speaks of seducers, seducing spirits, unclean spirits, working miracles, all of which are associated with arts of the devil. Idle curiosity, oh, it's just harmless. Read the horoscopes. I'll tell you how much worth you can put in horoscopes. I once worked for a newspaper, and one of the things I used to have to stick in, we used to actually do it with cow gum, pasted all up in big frames, you see, and the horoscopes never got in on time, and we used to just sort of cut up last week's and rearrange them, and no one knows the difference, because it doesn't mean a thing anyway, but it leads on to other things, you see. Idle curiosity in the unseen world leads to a sinful interest in trifling with matters so awful it was strictly forbidden. Deuteronomy 12, verses 30 to 32. It's forbidden. The occult has always been there to mislead men. The Bible uses terms like enchantment, sorceries, familiar spirit, wizard, observer of times, dreamer of dreams, diviners, charmers, necromancers, or consulters of the dead. We live in Fleet where there's a spiritualist church. Sign outside says, life goes on. Well, that's true. That's about the only thing they do say that is true. Those having contact with the unseen world were put to death. and all who sought the offices of such people were defiled, Leviticus 19, verse 31. I'm not suggesting we put people to death today, but of course, spiritualism was only made legal, I think, in about 1960, round about then. It was all, and then, of course, it became a force that I thought had died, and they call themselves different names now, like channelers or healers or whatever. I saw it all firsthand, and one of the things that I noticed about them is they're utterly dishonest, utterly dishonest. I caught my big guru leader. I was the only one I was his right-hand man, so I saw it all. And one day he was selling ads. He was a brilliant salesman. They're very good at what they do. He was selling ads on the phone, and he was saying, "We're this newspaper cover, we cover," and he covered half of southern England, you see, and I listened with increasing incredulity. These are the standards they apply in real life. And I challenged him at the end of it, because I hated lies, even though I was mixed up in a whole load of muddle, but I didn't like untruth. And I said, "John," I said, "you just told a lie there." I said, "We don't cover half those areas." And he looked at me with exasperation, as if I was an idiot. He said, "Well, I know that." He said, "We need the money more than they do. The end justifies the means." So they've got a very sort of easily moved set of rights and wrongs, you know. And another time, he was a vegetarian. A lot of spiritualists are vegetarians. It helps them contact the spirit world, they think. Anyway, one day I went in the office, he was munching a meat pie. And again, I was the only one who dared challenge him. He used to be a professional heavyweight boxer, so you didn't challenge him lightly. And I said, "John," I said, "you're eating a meat pie." And he looked at me with exasperation. He said, "Well, I know that." He said, "I haven't got time to bother with all that vegetarian rubbish." So I thought, my word, your principles are very flexible. Do as you will be the whole of the law. That's what the great beast used to say, the head honcho of all this movement. Do as you will be the whole of the law. And that was a man from Alton, believe it or not. Remember God's word. 1 Timothy 4, 1-2 says, "In the latter days, some shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And as for sorcerers," I'll carry on, abbreviate, "they shall have their part in the lake of fire, which is the second death." Revelation 21, verse 8. All occult practices are a direct affront to God. This is why nations like the Canaanites were destroyed. God's word is clear. "Whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For those nations which you shall dispossess, listen to those who practice witchcraft and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do so." Unfortunately, a lot of it has crept back into Israel. Big shopping center in Haifa that we saw, and we looked down on it, and they've got all kinds of occult figures on the top, what looks like a Druid priest right on the top as decorations. And as you walk in over a snake in the mosaic on the floor, Satan's mark. This is right in the heart of Israel. So we will live forever after our death, as the spiritualists believe, somewhere. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, no reincarnation, they believe that, you see, because this man that I worked for, he was a healer. And I dared to point out that he didn't seem to have any medical qualifications, as he manipulated people's backs and pronounced cures over people, you see. And he said, "Well, that was in a previous life. I was a surgeon." I thought, "Well, how can you dispute that, really?" So again, they will say whatever occurs to them to get by. "Inasmuch is it appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. We all decide which way we're going to go. There is no middle of the road. We went 270 to Chicago. We've also been 270 south to Memphis. Took that on a road in America, of course." So, Barry Smith, I'm indebted to for showing us this, and it's the poster he used to use. This is what happens when people die. There's this chasm, the chasm that cannot be bridged. And there's the cross, and someone's making his way up the narrow path to the cross. Elsewhere, "Don't worry, keep thinking positively. Where's the party? I went to church regularly. Oh no, why didn't somebody warn me? This must be the right way, just follow the crowd. But my guru said there is no hell. Lord Jesus, help me." Too late, too late. Hallelujah. The one man's gone up the winding road. So what's their job? Apart from getting some facts across to this lost and dying world, which certainly needs some, from Israel to here in America. I thought Malcolm would like this one, that's why I put it on. You see, keep calm and Maranatha. So I will just end with Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.